Hello, my name's Dave Emery. This is For the Record program number 211. Spitfire has asked me to skip 10 numbers. So the last For the Record program that people heard was number 200, or the last one recorded was number 200. We're skipping to number 211, but this is the next sequentially in terms of time. So please note that. As I've discussed in a number of other past broadcasts, one of the areas in which fascist and Nazi elements are looking to increase their influence and also to gain a mass following is by utilizing alternative media and alternative subcultures. By the way, I would also note that includes the conspiracy milieu as well. Not that they all or even most of the conspiracy milieu is fascist, but there are fascist elements within it attempting to use their presence in order to spread their influence. The same is true of other alternative subcultures and media, including a type of music known as black metal. Now, let me stress that black metal music and the attendant culture are not fascist by any means. That's an important thing to understand, particularly if you're an old fogey like myself. The music itself is alien, and the culture is alien, and it uses the lexicon and iconography of fascism and Nazism. Those words and images are used as a form of protest. Nonetheless, there is a very significant fascist and Nazi element within the black metal milieu. That fascist and Nazi element also overlaps not only Satanism, but Odinist religion. And the fascist and Nazi elements within the black metal scene, as well as others attempting to utilize the black metal scene, are engaged in attempting to spread the Nazi and fascist influence within the black metal music scene and culture. Please note this, and again, do not misunderstand me as saying that the black metal scene is fascist or Nazi. That is not the case. Yet, for those who are exponents of that culture or fans of that culture and scene, one should note that there are fascist and Nazi elements in it, and that they are using their presence in order to try to seduce others and to spread their influence. Discussion of this is present in an article and a book review that is in the Searchlights issue of March of the year 2000. This is issue number 297. The Searchlight is a British anti-fascist publication, not to be confused with the American Spotlight, very similar name, diametrically opposite ideological orientation. We're going to touch on the Spotlight, or not so much the Spotlight, but the Liberty Lobby, the parent organization of the Spotlight, later on in our discussion of the fascist and Nazi elements within the black metal scene. This particular article is entitled Music Not in My Heart. It's by Leonard Zeskind, Z-E-S-K-I-N-D, of the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights. And again, it's a book review and article of an analysis of the fascist and Nazi element within the black metal milieu and attempts by same to spread their influence not only within that milieu, but beyond. Skipping down in this article, we read, "The purposeful intervention of neo-Nazis into these youth subculture venues was previously known to me," that's the writer, "only by rumor. Thus, soundtracks to the White Revolution, white supremacist assaults on youth music subcultures, a new 100-page booklet edited by Devin Burghardt at the Center for New Community in Chicago, is a most useful antidote to my ignorance. Soundtracks drawing on the growing international cooperation among anti-fascist activists and journalists engendered by Searchlight According to Burghardt's acknowledgement, unquote, "the first ideas for the booklet came from discussions with Searchlight's Nick Lowles, L-O-W-L-E-S, when they both attended an anti-racist conference in New Orleans. These ideas became concrete 6 months later when Burghardt met Monitor colleagues in Norway." That's an anti-fascist publication as well. Continuing, "both Lowles, who is the expert on the business side of this, and Johansson of Monitor contributed to this volume, as did four other Americans in addition to Burghardt." Burghardt begins with a short essay describing the emergence in the United States of the skinhead scene out of the punk subculture, setting the stage for a discussion of youth subcultures and music scenes. This focus, rather than the more typical North American discussion of skinheads as youth gangs, Aryan street warriors, or simply new recruits for aging Führers such as Tom Metzger and William Pierce, makes this book absolutely invaluable for young people anxious to know about what is happening in their own subcultures. By the way, note William Pierce. We're going to come back to him. He's the head of the Nazi group, the National Alliance, the author of the Nazi tract, The Turner Diaries, The Influence for the Order, among others, and we're going to take a look at an evidentiary tributary connecting one of the dominant influences in the black metal scene, a fellow named Michael Moynihan, and the Order. And we're also going to take a look at the end of the broadcast, time permitting, the Nazi tract Serpent's Walk, about a Nazi takeover in the mid-21st century by the descendants of the SS after they buy into the American opinion-forming media, that book published by William Pierce's National Vanguard Books. Continuing with this article from the Searchlight, number 297, from March of the year 2000, Michael Lefkowitz, Lefkowitz, now with the Northwest Coalition for Human Dignity in Seattle, notes the new dominance of a politics is not skinhead, unquote, attitude among the supposedly non-racist as opposed to anti-racist in the current skin scene. Johansson's short article focuses on Varg Vikernes, V-I-K-E-R-N-E-S, a founder of the National Socialist black metal scene, who was convicted of burning three Norwegian churches and is now serving a 21-year sentence for murder and arson. Vikernes is still able to play a leading role in the movement from behind bars. He is disturbing evidence, unquote, Johansson concludes, again quoting, that parts of the black metal scene are turning from satanic ridicule into hardcore neo-Nazis, unquote. Northwest Coalition describes several of the most important figures in this movement. Eric Owens, who moved from Oi Rock to Aryan Folk, Boyd Rice, a former member of American Front, a grouplet close to Tom Metzger, but now closer to Michael Moynihan's explicitly satanic network, Thomas Thorne, also close to Moynihan, and Moynihan himself, whose quasi-journalistic treatment of the movement, The Lords of Chaos, is probably its most successful publicity. By the way, I would note that we're going to come back to many of these people, including Boyd Rice and Michael Moynihan later. Moynihan, by the way, is not a black metal musician. He is very influential in the black metal scene. His own music could perhaps be characterized as folk rock. That is the description given to me by the consummately brilliant Kevin Coogan, the author of the book Dreamer of the Day that we're going to source in just a few minutes. By the way, that book Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey and the Postwar Fascist International, published in softcover by Autono Media and copyright 1999, is one of the most important books ever written about fascism, and though a very difficult read, it gets the Dave Emery 5-star rating, and I think anyone serious about coming to understand contemporary fascism must read and own Dreamer of the Day. By the way, I get no monies from this particular endorsement, as I don't from the rest of my work as well. Continuing. Justin Massa, M-A-S-S-A, who works with Burghardt in Chicago, surveys the various music scenes more fully, clicking off bands and events to describe a, quote, disparate international network, unquote, of musicians and propagandists who, again quoting, consider themselves intellectuals, unquote. This music is designed to shock, he says, and express a youthful alienation with the values and ethics of the larger culture. Quote, for many young people looking to rebel, music-based subcultures provide a sense of identity and belonging. With its condemnation of Judeo-Christian ethics, shocking aesthetic, and brutal sound, black metal represents the ultimate rebellion, unquote, Massa writes. Nevertheless, he warns, not all black metal is fascist, unquote. I would stress that, and one should underscore that in other circumstances. Continuing. This is not, however, the Catcher in the Rye's Holden Caulfield holding forth on hypocrisy and wondering about the meaning of life. Swastikas and other insignia first employed to express disgust, then become symbols of a fascist identity. Charles Morrow takes another swing at Moynihan's Lords of Chaos by dissecting his use of the concept of atavism. Atavism is a biological concept meaning the reappearance of a physical trait that existed in a species' remote ancestors. Moynihan, therefore, claims that, quote, behind the black metal race hatred lie actually returning Norse gods or quasi-biological factors beyond the control of their neo-Nazi vessels, unquote, writes Morrow. Again quoting, Wotan made me do it is the excuse given for racist violence, says Morrow, only half tongue-in-cheek. Burghardt concludes with a call not only to understand this phenomenon, but to block it. It is essential, he writes, quote, that established anti-bigotry organizations provide support for people within different music subcultures who are willing to stand up against white supremacist incursions in a way that acknowledges the need for autonomy of those courageous individuals and organizations, unquote. School grounds, music club scenes, and record stores are the new battle zones. Soundtracks is ammunition. And that book is Soundtracks of the White Revolution. Devin Burghardt, Center for New Community, P.O. Box 346066, Chicago, Illinois, 60634, USA. And again, I get no monies whatsoever from this particular mention of that name. Now, as I mentioned just a second ago, there is a very good and illuminating discussion of the fascist and satanic and Odinist influence within the black metal scene, which is not to be misunderstood as fascist, as I said again, yet that has profound fascist and Nazi influences, and they are trying to turn it fascist. That book that I alluded to, again, is called Dreamer of the Day, subtitled Francis Parker Yockey and the Postwar Fascist International, authored by the consummately brilliant Kevin Coogan, capital C-O-O-G-A-N, published in softcover by Otano Media, copyright 1999. You can reach their website at otanomedia.org. That's A-O-A-U-T-O-N-O-M-E-D-I-A.org. And again, this is as important a book about fascism as has ever been written, and it's a must-own and must-read for anyone serious about understanding the phenomenon. In Dreamer of the Day, there's discussion of the black metal music scene, its overlap with Satanist and Odinist religions, and in turn, some of the people involved in it, including the aforementioned fascists Boyd Rice and Michael Moynihan, and others as well. Kevin Coogan writes of this in Dreamer of the Day as follows. Speaking of the Yockey influence, that's Francis Parker Yockey, the fascist theoretician for whom the book is named, Coogan writes, finally, some note must be made of the Yockey revival now occurring inside elements of the occult underground. Kerry Bolton, the New Zealand-based publisher of Yockey's texts, has tried for some years to merge fascist politics with occultism. Bolton publishes a series of small journals like Nexus and The Flaming Sword, and some of his essays have appeared in the Church of Satan publication The Black Flame. He also founded two occult groups, the Order of the Left-Hand Path and the Black Order, whose newsletter is The Flaming Sword. Today, through his Renaissance Press outfit, Bolton sells copies of Imperium and The Proclamation of London, by the way, parenthetically both authored by Yockey, continuing, and he has been linked to a white supremacist group called the Nationalist Workers' Party, which has issued Bolton-penned tracts like, quote, Scientific Origins of Racial Nationalism, unquote. Bolton also promotes the writings of David Myatt, M-Y-A-T-T, the British-based leader of a fascist sect called the National Socialist Movement, or NSM. Myatt is the founder of the occultist Order of Nine Angels, or ONA, which publishes a journal called Fenrir, F-E-N-R-I-R. Bolton, Myatt, and the American Michael Moynihan, who heads the Portland-based Storm Publications, all write for a far-right journal called Philosophem, which is published in Metz, France, by a group called Blood Axis. By the way, that same name, Blood Axis, belongs to Michael Moynihan's own group. Continuing. The link between the current Yockey revival and the occult is equally clear in the case of the French third positionist Christian Boucher, B-O-U-C-H-E-T, who helped found a new European Liberation Front in homage to Yockey. Boucher has been associated with the French branch of the Ordo Templi Orientis, or OTO, and his occult journal is named Thelema, T-H-E-L-E-M-A, an homage to Aleister Crowley. He is a leading figure in Nouvelle Résistance, whose journal Lutte de Peuple he also edits. That's, by the way, Struggle of the People in French. Continuing. Bolton and Boucher have tried to turn the satanic or black metal music scene in a fascist direction. Bolton, for example, has helped edit an occult black metal fanzine called Key of Alocer, A-L-O-C-E-R. By the way, I may be mispronouncing some of these names. Continuing. Boucher's group, Nouvelle Résistance, meanwhile, is behind a music fanzine called Napalm Rock. Napalm Rock has embraced a leading Norwegian black metal musician named Varg Vikernes, or Count Grishnok, who is currently in jail for the murder of another black medalist, Oystein Arseth, or Euronymous. By the way, that's capital A-A-R-S-E-T-H. Continuing, when Vikernes is arrested, that's V-I-K-E-R-N-E-S, it was discovered that he had in his possession about 330 pounds of dynamite, some of which he claimed he was planning to use to destroy the Antifa or Anti-Fascist Center Blitzhaus in Oslo. Both Napalm Rock and Philosophem have praised Vikernes as a gallant Viking warrior. This same rightist interest in black metal is reflected in a 1998 book on the black metal music scene published by Feral House entitled Lords of Chaos, The Bloody Rise of the Satanic Metal Underground by Michael Moynihan, with help from Diedrich Söderlind. Moynihan has also been involved in the Abraxas Foundation, which maintains close ties to the Church of Satan. Moynihan's major outlet has been Storm, his music and book publishing house. Besides selling Colonel Gaddafi's The Green Book, Storm published Siege, the collected writings of James Mason, with an introduction by Michael M. Jenkins, or Michael Moynihan. By the way, that's a frequently used alias by, or alternative name, by Michael Moynihan. We're going to touch on that later. Mason, a former member of George Lincoln Rockwell's American Nazi Party, created his own National Socialist Liberation Front, or NSLF, in the 1970s. Much like Moynihan and other members of the Abraxas Network, like Boyd Rice, Mason became enamored of Charles Manson. In Siege, Mason devotes a chapter to praise white racist, lone wolf assassins who carry out attacks on racial minorities like blacks and Hispanics. To Mason, such acts should be encouraged as healthy outpourings of Viking berserker rage, unquote. Moynihan is a leading member of an Old Norse and Germanic religion, unquote, movement known as the Asatru Alliance, or AA. The alliance, headquartered in Arizona, evolved out of an Odinist Nordic revival movement in the United States known as the Asatru Free Assembly. By the way, that's A-S-A-T-R-U. The AA wing of the movement argued that Norse religion could only include people of Northern European descent, as it believes that Asatru is based on a racial archetype. AA leader Valgard, or Michael Murray, was a former member of George Lincoln Rockwell's American Nazi Party. By the way, that's just like James Mason, whose works are published by Moynihan. Continuing. The AA publishes a journal called Vore True, which is edited by Robert Ward, the former editor of the rightist music scene and culture zine The Fifth Path, the rightist music and culture zine The Fifth Path. Another leading member of the AA is Robert Nicholas Taylor. According to a profile of Taylor in the rightist music journal Ohm Clock, quote, during a 12-year stint as a national spokesman for the Minutemen, he went on to become director of intelligence and set up the first guerrilla training schools ever to exist in the United States, unquote. For a brief period in the early 1970s, Taylor had his own rightist folk group called Changes. Today, Moynihan's Portland-based Storm Records sells the Changes CD Fire of Life, which includes a song, Twilight of the West, directly inspired by Oswald Spengler and Francis Parker Yockey. Moynihan is also at work on his own Blood Axis track for, quote, a German tribute CD dedicated to the esoteric writer Julius Evola, unquote, according to Vore True. Julius Evola, about whom we've spoken in the past, is a fascist theoretician who was very close to the SD, the Sicherheitsdienst, the SS intelligence service, and he is also an influence in New Age circles as well. Just as when I've spoken in the past about fascist influence in the New Age and eco or green movements, this is not to be misunderstood as saying that all or even most of the pro-ecology or New Age are fascist or Nazi. Nonetheless, one should take note of the fact that there are very significant fascist elements within each, and that is a caveat to be taken seriously. Continuing with Kevin Coogan's analysis, the CD, Cavalcare la Tigre, from Ice and Leaked Records, that's EIS and LICHT, is part of Moynihan's plan to introduce the political writings of Julius Evola into the American far right. For this reason, Storm is now preparing to issue an English translation of Evola's Gli Uomini della Rovine, or Men among the ruins. Note again that Ebola, as evidenced by Francis or by Kevin Coogan in this book, very close to the SD or Sicherheitsdienst, the SS intelligence service. In a couple of footnotes, Kevin Coogan provides references to some music zines which contain an exchange of information between Kevin, an exchange of critiques between Kevin Coogan and the aforementioned Michael Moynihan, and also a writer named a publisher named Adam Parfrey, whose Feral House publisher published the Lords of Chaos book. Feral House also, by the way, is involved with Conspiracy publication as well. The magazine references that I'm about to read contain a more illuminating discussion of some of the aspects of the fascist element within the black metal scene, as well as attempts by Adam Parfrey and Michael Moynihan to counter what Kevin Coogan and Jeff Bale, another knowledgeable anti-fascist who publishes the Hit List magazine, had to say. Turning once again to Dreamer of the Day by Kevin Coogan, we read, in a 1995 interview with Kerry Bolton in The Heretic, Moynihan said he was an active member of the Church of Satan. Moynihan's work has also appeared in The Black Flame. See, for example, his essay, The Faustian Spirit of Fascism in The Black Flame, Volume 5, Numbers 1 and 2 of 1994, pages 13 to 16. Here, Moynihan argues that fascism and National Socialism were at their core intrinsically Faustian, in essence, satanic, unquote. Skipping down, another footnote. For a detailed examination of both Lords of Chaos and Michael Moynihan, see my article, How Black is Black Metal, in Hit List, Volume 1, Number 1, February of March of 1999. Also see an exchange between Feral House publisher Adam Parfrey and myself in Hit List, Volume 1, Number 3, June and July of 1999. For Moynihan's reaction to my essay, see his interview in I, issue number 23, September and October of 1999. My response appears in Hit List, Volume 1, Number 4, September and October of 1999. And again, I would note, for people who would like to flesh out their understanding of these issues, and also to see attempts by people written about here to counter what Kevin Coogan and others have had to say, those magazine references there will serve the purpose very, very nicely. I would note that the milieu that Kevin is talking about here overlaps the Holocaust denial movement and the Liberty Lobby. That's the fascist organization that parents the Spotlight publication. Specifically, a fellow named Keith Stimley, or Stimley, S-T-I-M-E-L-Y, is a person who was involved with the Abraxas Foundation, part of the milieu talked about before. He also was affiliated with the Institute for Historical Review, the number one Holocaust revisionist organization, and for 2 years was the editor of its publication, the Journal of Historical Review. Speaking of Keith Stimley here, Kevin Coogan writes, Stimley decided he had to write a book on Yaki and filed a Freedom of Information Act request about him with the FBI. He revisited the East Coast to examine Carto's Yaki file at the Liberty Lobby's office and to speak with Douglas Kay, Tom Francis, and Eustace Mullins. His passion soon began to pay off in a most remarkable way. Through his ties to Carto and David McCalden, the first director of Carto's Institute for Historical Review, he learned that an Englishman named John Anthony Gannon had written to the Institute for Historical Review to inquire if it had any plans to publish texts by or about Yaki. More about Stimley's connection to the Institute for Historical Review. Stimley, who had been an editor of, by the way, skipping down, Stimley, who had been editor of the Journal of Historical Review from February of 1983 to February of 1985, quit because he claimed that Carto had deleted a section of an article by Holocaust denier Robert Faurisson, critical of the British historian and Institute for Historical Review speaker David Irving, without first consulting either Faurisson or himself. And again, of Holocaust denier Keith Stimley's connection to the Abraxas Foundation and the black metal milieu, we read, Stimley eventually returned to the West Coast and enrolled in the graduate school program in American history at the University of Oregon at Eugene. He also discovered an interest in Yaqui within the Abraxas Foundation, a Church of Satan-influenced group of industrial culture fans. Abraxas began in San Francisco in the mid-1980s around musician Boyd Rice, Nicholas Schreck, S-C-H-R-E-C-K, and Schreck's girlfriend, Zena LaVey, daughter of Church of Satan founder Anton LaVey. By the way, according to report, both Schreck and Zena LaVey are now members of the Temple of Set, a satanic cult headed up by Michael Aquino, a former Green Beret, and U.S. military intelligence psychological warfare specialist. Continuing, an Épater les Bourgeois movement, Abraxas embraced taboo subjects like Satanism, sadism, serial killers, Nordic mythology, and the occult aspects of the SS. Another member of the scene, who later moved to the Northwest and befriended Steinle, was Adam Perfrey, owner of the publishing company Amok Press, now Feral House. And in a footnote to that passage, we read from Kevin Coogan's work again. Steinle's connection to Abraxas includes a humorous leaflet that listed him as a pianist in the 1992 Total War musical performance in Portland with Abraxas music guru Boyd Rice, Michael Moynihan, and Diabolus Rex. On Abraxas, see my article, How Black is Black Metal, in Hit List, Volume 1, Number 1, February and March of 1999. And by the way, we're going to continue with this discussion of the fascist element within the black metal music scene in the next half hour of this particular program. I've made reference to tapes available from Spitfire. That's a tape duplication service that stocks the various tapes that I've done over the years. They can be contacted by regular mail at Spitfire, P.O. Box 1179. That's P.O. Box 1179. That's in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is spitfire@ix.netcom.com. Once again, that's spitfire@ix.netcom.com. You can also, by the way, if you do not have email, obviously write to them. There's a list of and description of the various tapes available from Spitfire on the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com, also equipped with real audio so people can follow along and hear the programs going out to the various stations that carry this broadcast the week they're going out. And there's also a matching set of descriptions and information on the KFJC website at kfjc.org. Look in the Transmissions and Public Affairs sections. By the way, people can reach me by email at demory@kfjc.org. That's demory@kfjc.org. And please do not expect a return. I just don't have time to return email. I get a small royalty from the sale of the archive shows only. I get no monies from recent, present, or future on-air endeavors. We're going to continue with the discussion of the fascist influence within the black metal music scene and the associated subjects of satanic and racist religion of that in our next half-hour segment. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.